What's good, everybody? I hope everybody is enjoying this Monday. There's a lot out there not to enjoy. The heat, the smoke, the temperature of this country. But you know what? You're here. Listen to the sultry sounds of KZFR. And coming up next, talking about practice. So you know what? Your day just got a lot better. You're welcome, America. Actually, Chico. Actually, America. Actually, the world, because we're streamed all over the world on the web. That's right, kzfr.org. You can stream us there if you aren't able to, if you aren't in the Chico area, listen to us on 90.1 KZFR. But you know what? Enough of the flip-flap, all the flim-flam. Time to move it along. But we got to thank the important people here and the people that make us who we are. It's my mother, by the way. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure features Trek Bicycles, USA, and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico and at NorthRimAdventureSports.com. Thank you, North Rim Adventure Sports. We appreciate your support here over at KZFR and for the show of Talking About Practice. Now, we're still missing a couple of the people on the show. Jero and Jordan are out, but Brad is back. So we're sorry, guys.
Yay.
Yeah, we try to keep him away.
One of the parents are back now, so we have to actually talk about sports.
Yeah, one of the guys, unfortunately, we try to keep him away, but, you know, he just keeps coming back into your life.
The promotion didn't last that long.
Without Jero here, you're like a step-parent, you know, so that you try to get us into sports, and we're like, you're not our parent.
I mean, you realize you're like just as much of a sports talker as he is, if not
I realize that, but I'm more of a chameleon, and I adapt to my surroundings, and when it's just you and me, we just talk about the flip-flam and the flip-flops, you know?
Well, either way, we'll get into the flip-flop and the flim-flam and the good times here talking about practice, because that starts right now. So, let's get into it. Hit it, Brad.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Oh, that is right, y'all. It is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. And I am your host today, Derek Isomaki. Join with me in the studio, my man, the left-handed to my right hand, John Lucan, a.k.a. the left hand. There you go.
It's better than the long snapper.
The left hand is useless to me.
The left-handed long snapper.
There you go. And then we are there with Statman Brad back in the building, keeping us going as straight as we possibly can, at least as best as possibly he can, which is...
That's difficult. For you guys, it's
about as straight as a rainbow. That's the course, yeah.
Yeah!
Thank you. Well, we got some sports to actually talk about. We're going to have to go up. We will go off the beaten path when it comes to sports as well, because there are some sports that happened out there that the rest of the world, and when I say world... America doesn't like to talk about. So your Formula One racing news will be coming your way as well. So if you're a racing fan, stick around, because we have yourself a doozy of a race, did we, over in Monza. But there's bigger things going on in this country, that being the NBA playoffs. Now, if you were listening last week, you would have heard the impressive analytic breakdown that John and I did when it came to prediction radio, and we gave you a whole new lens of analysis of which to view these teams. And if you were there, you are probably riding high because you've been following our bets, because we've been winning, have we not?
Well, we've been crushing.
We've been crushing it.
I mean, yeah, there's one series, obviously the Heat. That was our kind of golden child of the hair community for basketball teams. And look what they're doing. They almost swept the number one seed Eastern Conference team. So
making the Bucks look as retreated as much the hairline on that team. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. We have the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Lakers 1-1 now, and we did have the Houston Rockets going on that. Now, again, the lens of analysis that John and I used was hairstyle of the players happening.
Yeah, which purely off hairstyles.
Purely off hairstyles, nothing else, and it has been working out so far.
It's swimmingly.
Right now, we also picked the...
talk about a fade.
We had the Celtics taking over the Raptors.
Yeah,
did we not?
That series is tied
that
as
series
well.
Series tied. Now, granted... The Celtics had themselves a chance, but you know someone wasn't wearing their hair properly
right
that day. And
well, I think Jason Tatum got a haircut right after we made those predictions.
Man,
so
here you go, that was a problem.
You know the odds swung a little bit. It went from like -125 to like -109.
Either way, the Raptors came out swinging with that impressive three-pointer to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's as weird as it is. It just seems like these playoffs are very unassuming right now.
Yeah,
in a certain
they're
way.
Great though. I mean, like. For the longest time, especially with the run the Warriors had, it was literally basketball. Like the entire regular season, everything was like, all right, let's just wait for the playoffs. Let's wait for this matchup, the one matchup in the Western Conference and Eastern Conference, and then the finals. Now it's like you have the Nuggets in there. You have, you know, the Rockets are doing well against the Lakers. You have Clippers now in there. It's like it's a whole new kind of look. I mean, obviously Lakers have always been around, but I mean, what? It's been since almost 10 years since they've kind of been at this back to this kind of top of the mountain. So. Mm-hmm. The talent level is just completely spread across the NBA, so it's making for really, really good basketball.
Yeah, it's nice not seeing just one team that is dominating the whole entire NBA. It's great. I mean,
even if it is the Warriors, like it wasn't
but
that
the Nuggets,
great to watch,
but,
you know, like knowing
the
that they're
going to
sweep
actually
most
have a
of the
chance,
series.
Which is the best part.
No, exactly,
like,
yeah.
Everybody loves parity, and that's what we're getting right now. And we have pretty much a coin flip happening on most of these games, these series going on at this point in time, other than your
Rockets-Bucks. I mean, Heat Bucks.
Heat Bucks, yes, I was going to say.
Sorry.
Heat Bucks, they're the one, 3-1, the Heat, they shouldn't. They had 3-0. No one loses 3-0.
And Antetokounmpo's pretty hurt with
that
sprained
bad.
Ankle. So.
I mean, if you want to trust in Middleton, then you know what? You're going to ride that unicycle down the middle.
Yeah.
You're not going to go anywhere.
I mean, the fact they even pushed it to overtime to get that win was just impressive in and of itself. Without Giannis.
I mean, you got to think that but Heat are having a certain.
But to be a number one seed, like Steph goes out, you know, twists his ankle or something like that. With those kind of Warrior teams, like there's other people that are going to step up. That you're like, okay, like that's going to hurt us.
But you can still win a
but
series.
We're still
going to
win a series.
Yeah.
Like the Bucks are a great, great team throughout the regular season. But when it gets down to brass tacks, like you lose Antetokounmpo, they're done.
There is no series.
And when you have him on the floor, Middleton disappears. Like they don't know how to play with each other. I was surprised to see how well he did when Antetokounmpo was gone. You know, I mean, he, you know, 30 plus and had that game winner in overtime. You know, or the seal it in overtime, pretty much. But I don't see them being able to battle back on
that with how slow Middleton was playing in the beginning of this playoffs, I didn't even think that he was going to be able to show up in this series.
He just looks slow.
Agreed.
Like he just like I feel like he would talk like Eeyore, you know? Like he's just like a
That's not slow, that's depressed.
Okay, well he looks depressed.
Okay.
A little sad face Middleton over
looks
there.
Like a sad boy.
Either way, Bucks, you're kind of, you know,
you're looking like Bambi right now.
Turn that B into an F, and that's what you are right now, and add an ED on the end. Okay? Now, we're talking. Now, we're going to find new, we have to obviously keep the show chugging along. We have to find new lens of analysis that we can, again, analyze these teams by.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, you know, we got to find, is there going to be parity that's going to be, further parity that's going to be happening, and there's only one way to go from here. After we look at the hairline, we looked at the jerseys. You got to look at the coaches in the front office, man. Those guys, I want to see the daddy level of these guys. Mm-hmm. How much daddy do we have in these front offices right now? How much of these guys are we saying, yep, I'll cuddle up with you. I'm willing to be that sugar mama or sugar baby. Or I'm looking for a sugar daddy. So you can be my sugar daddy. I'm willing to participate in whatever.
So we starting with the East Coast matchups
first? East Coast matchups right now. We got ourselves the Celtics and
the Raptors.
So obviously front office.
This is a heavy hitter for the first round right
now. I mean, we're saying Danny Ainge, GM for the Celtics, and we've got head coach Brad Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge looks like he would let you sneak a couple beers out of his cooler at a family barbecue.
I feel like Danny Ainge is for sure rocking the New Balance sneakers while on the grill too.
Yeah.
Not a great look. Not a daddy type look. I'm sorry. That's
a dad look. But like
he's a good looking dad, but
like your
dad.
Buddies are stoked to go over to your house because he's a cool dad.
Enough.
You know, he's a cool dad.
Okay.
But I mean, he's trying to be the cool dad.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens just looks like he's wound up so tight, though. Brad Stevens looks like he's
he's got the personality of a manila envelope.
I feel like he's a military son. Like, that's what he looks like. Ooh. He looks like he came out of a military family, and right now he is buttoned up. So I feel like that's a little tightly wound. Not daddy again.
I feel like he missed the career road, and he was supposed to be like a computer engineer and write code or something. You know, I feel like he's just soft spoken and just like a scared. Yeah, military son.
Yeah. It's just military son, not in the military himself.
You just drove right back into his street on that that comment you had right there.
Yeah, well.
Celtics, I don't know. I don't see a lot of daddy there.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of daddy.
But I like the Raptors and where you're going with this one. Nick Nurse, that has some daddy potential.
That's some daddy potential, no doubt. I mean, if he just tones it up a little bit, without, you know, I feel like he's got a little bit of gut in there. Like, granted, if you have enough money, I'm willing to overlook the gut.
But you also have that, like, that dad bod look to him and that dad attitude.
And he's got the glasses, too. Glasses looking fire right there. And then you got their owner, Zion.
Sorry, it's not. Oh, I mean, you're talking about the owner?
The GM.
The GM.
Operations.
Bobby Webster.
Bobby Webster is the GM. The GM, and then they have Musai.
Is the president of
operations. And I mean, the only one that's saving them is Musai right now.
They're Musai at the same time.
And you got Brad Stevens, so I'll give you that. All right, I think the Raptors take it. I got to feel the Raptors are better looking.
I think it goes seven games, but I think the Raptors win in seven.
You're giving way too much daddy status to just the bland dads on the Celtics.
Danny Ainge is a cool dad.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
He's rocking the New Balance trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay? If he was cool, he'd rock like Converse or Nikes.
I feel like he's buying you shots on the golf course.
Okay, maybe, but at the same time...
That's a pretty cool dad.
I wouldn't... You got Brad Stevens, though. And Brad Stevens is like, you don't drink unless you're 21. And then you should only have two because you can't drive back
for that.
Rapid. Okay. Next one. We're going Heat versus the Bucks in this one right now. Now, you never know where this could go. You never know where this could go when it comes to the front office.
But Budenholzer?
I'm just going to be saying, we're going to get the GM right now for the Heat.
The Heat's GM, he looks like your weird uncle that you don't want at the Christmas party.
Now, if Pat Riley wants to come back in and take over, he wins all hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down, he's there. Like, my goodness.
Eric Spoelstra as the coach, it cancels out the GM.
It evens it out.
Can we get the GM's name here?
For the Heat? Andy Eisenberg.
Okay. Andy Eisenberg.
He looks like an Andy Eisenberg.
He looks like an Andy right now, and it's just not good. He looks more like Kevin, actually. He looks more like a Kevin.
He does look like Kevin from the office.
He's Kevin from the office right now. But again, you have Pat Riley there, too, which, again, he's daddy. He is daddy 100%. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Now, okay, so we got put up a strong little fight. Now we got the Bucks going on.
Bud Budenholzer, man. He's
bland, too.
He looks like he came from Indiana. He looks like an old dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like he's a deadhead. He's someone who has dropped acid 8,000 times in his life and just completely lost it.
I could see that.
And he wants to go around following the dead wherever they go.
Has like a weird closeted.
He's got tie dye.
He plays the ukulele or something.
Underneath
you know?
All the suits is tie dye.
Well, it looks really weird when he's just wearing that little white collared, like little three button shirt. It just looks really weird.
Yeah, he looks like he would. He just looks sweaty.
And then who's the Bucks GM?
John Horst.
Okay, now he's a good looking dude.
He's a good looking GM.
He kind of looks like Rory McIlroy
a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, from the side. I'm looking at the side.
Yeah, no, he's got that young daddy potential. He's not there yet. Give him about 5-6 years, you have a chance.
To be a daddy, you got to have some years on your face.
Yeah, he's got some JFK qualities.
You've got to got through the ringer a couple of times right now.
So who are we giving it to?
I've gone through it a lot.
Who are we giving it to? This is tough.
I feel like the Pat Riley effect is going to take.
Yeah, it still ripples out.
It does. So the Heat,
we got to go Heat.
Heat taking it. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So once again, he did come on top.
Eric Spoelstra got that. You know, he's got the diversity in there. You know,
exactly.
I don't even know. He's like Tiger Woods. I don't even know what he is really.
And at the same time, Eric Spoelstra's got that potential. Needs a little more ruggedness on him to get there, but he's on his way. All right, next up, we're going Rockets, Lakers.
Ooh.
Okay, we got Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey. I'm not gonna lie, this should be an easy walkover.
Should be a
sweep.
Yeah, there is no competition.
Yeah.
Now, as much as I don't really like Frank Vogel, he's not that great looking.
Rob Pelinka looks like
Pelinka's got the little Rob Lowe-esque.
He looks like Rob Lowe, exactly.
I mean, granted, he looks like Rob Lowe's bastard cousin. But either way, you got Rob Lowe in there. You're doing good for yourself. It is kind of scary
he's like
how much
Rob Lowe's Fredo.
he does look like, it is kind of crazy how much he does look like Rob Lowe. So either way. And then you also add on Jeannie Buss into the mix too.
Yeah.
Lakers take the sweep easily. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Houston.
Yeah, we're throwing the Pat Riley ripple effect. We're throwing the Jeannie Buss ripple.
The Jeannie Buss ripple effect, she goes far. Yeah. Okay, that ripple is felt
just
for
ask
miles.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah. And okay.
All right.
Moving along. Clippers going on. Doc Rivers. Ooh, he's got that.
Oh, it's like,
yeah.
Is it a, Clippers
is it a hairline?
Right now.
I don't know what it is, man.
It's like he's trying to hang on
barber.
To it for some reason, but at the same time, he's still his voice helps out a lot, though. He's got a very sexy voice that just like, it's like daddy-esque.
But you have Jerry West as the ripple effect in the Clippers as well.
And then their GM, too. But their owner, Mike Ballmer, completely takes it away.
Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer completely sidetracks it. And then you have a ginger, too, as your, oh, ooh.
But his energy,
Michael Winger.
A balding ginger. Ooh, that's
but
rough.
But Steve, I mean, we can't all go off based off just pure looks. Personality is in there, too.
No doubt.
Steve Ballmer's got great
energy.
Does
he really have personality? No,
he's got great energy.
That doesn't mean he has great personality. Just because somebody has
like
a lot of energy.
He's like the corny dad, you know?
When you come, it's like, God, shut up. You're too annoying right now.
But you're going to want to come home to him. Is the thing.
I would probably want to leave home from
you're
him
excited.
Here all the time.
You're excited to be like home when dad's home, is what I'm saying.
When he gets, as long as he's not there all the time.
Yeah no, of course. But when you're going to dad's house, you're excited.
All right, so either way, they got the ginger, Nuggets? They have a balding ginger, not looking good. Nuggets, though, ooh, they got some potential here. Calvin Booth, their GM.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Calvin Booth, he's a longtime NBA player. I remember that guy.
Yeah.
He went all over.
He kind of looks like Greg Oden a little bit.
A little bit, but sophisticated Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Like
less eyebrows.
Actually was able to graduate college, Greg Oden. I don't know if Greg Oden ever... I'm sure he did. He just doesn't look like he could go back.
Yeah, Ohio State, dude.
Everyone gets away in Ohio State. All right, and then who else is their coach is Mike Malone.
Mike Malone.
Nothing special about him. Nothing special.
But I mean, can rock a bow tie? You know, I mean, it's just
can he rock a bow tie
right now? I feel like they both could. You know,
okay, who else do we got in their Nuggets? The coach? Yeah, let's see.
For the GM. This is their GM.
All right, young guy.
Yeah, he's a Tim Conley. Yeah, Conley.
Okay.
So he's a young guy. He's another kinda, daddy potential.
Yeah,
he looks like he would take you out on his ski boat.
I'm coming to realize,
and
bad as Winger though.
He'd be able to wake surf.
All these for the most part GMs, I feel, are just like 40 something dudes who are just playing like live action fantasy basketball. That's all they're doing right now.
Fair.
Yeah.
So I think to the Nuggets.
I think the Nuggets take it too.
Nuggets move on.
Yeah. Nuggets move on. As much as like Doc Rivers, he doesn't give him that much credit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He kind of falls short. So Nuggets take it, I think.
Yeah, I think
so we're having the Lakers and Nuggets in the finals.
In the Western Conference finals. Then we've got the Heat
and the Raptors.
In the Eastern Conference.
And next week we'll get into a different category and we'll break it down
even more. So there you go.
Your
new analysis right here. Take it on, guys.
And you guys have been doing really well.
We've done
doing
well. Yeah.
Over 50%.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's good money right there in my book.
Yep.
Great value. Keeping it along. So now we got our NBA talk. Move it out the way. There, I got to go into a sport that, again, never gets much play here. I'm the only one that actually participates in it. Formula One. This past weekend was the mecca of speed, the Italian Grand Prix at Monza. Now, if you're a fan of it, you know there's one person out there who is pretty much reigning supreme. Lewis Hamilton. He is the half-akin, the wonderkin that is doing amazing things out there on the track. And no one can touch this man. He is lightning quick. Not even his own teammate, who is waiting in the same car as him, comes close to Lewis Hamilton.
Great name, too.
Right? Solid name. Lewis Hamilton. He's a great-looking dude, too. Only problem is he takes way too many shirtless selfies, and he's way too introspective in his Instagram. Mm. He gets way too in his feelings. He's a sensei. Don't like the senseis that much.
Young generation. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I know. That's right. That is it. But either way. Lewis Hamilton is a stud, and he is doing amazing things out there. So it's honestly, sometimes watching Formula One, it's a little dull sometimes because you kind of know Lewis Hamilton's probably going to win. Valtteri Bottas, his running mate, is probably going to come in second. And you have Max Verstappen, the third dude from Red Bull Racing, who's probably going to come in third. That's usually the way it's been right now. That's usually your podium, your 1-2-3. Now, granted, the season has provided a little bit more parity than usual, as we had the likes of McLaren finally come into their old ranks of actually being prestigious racers once again. And Racing Point, a team that has long been on the back end of the racing grid, has finally come up from the top. And they're actually putting guys onto the podium on a rather consistent basis. Now here, whenever you have a catastrophe that might happen, it's always kind of nice because, again, more parity happening. You have more teams coming into that. Dude, you don't get to the podium. And that's exactly what happened at Monza. We had a cluster of a crap happened that led to quite possibly a spectacular finish and probably the most unbeknownst finish anyone could ever predict it. No one saw this coming. No one would have probably seen this. I wish I had the odds on him. But as Brad plays this clip for you, as we hear from Pierre Gasly, the Frenchman who finally took down, got his first F1 podium. He's the 109th winner to ever do so in Formula One history. And he was the first Frenchman to do it in 26 years. Here is the French commentary of Pierre Gasly winning the Italian Grand Prix.
L'accélération vers Ascari, ce ne sera pas avant Ascari, ça ne peut qu'être après la chicane d'Ascari, il faut encore tenir, allez Pierre, il faut tenir jusque dans les derniers instants, il reste la parabolique tout au bout là-bas, elle est loin, elle est infiniment loin cette parabolique, écarte-toi, ne le laisse pas t'aspirer. Il se met à l'intérieur, il fait de la récupération d'énergie pour essayer de sortir de la parabolique. Elle est presque là, cette victoire. Accélère, accélère. Oui, il va aller la chercher. Ne lâche pas. La victoire de Pierre Gasly. Il l'a fait. Victoire de Pierre Gasly. Victoire d'AlphaTauri. La victoire française. 24 ans, 3 mois et 18 jours après Olivier Panis. La France, de nouveau victorieuse en Formule 1. Il l'a fait, Pierre Gasly. Exceptionnel.
It's got to be one of the best calls I've ever heard in my life.
What you hear right there is that pure emotion, that raw passion of a country that has long lost its racing heritage.
Yeah.
And Pierre Gasly coming in there and doing a fantastic job. Now, granted, like I said, a cluster of things happened that led to this situation.
You're saying like crashes,
not
stuff
crashes,
like that, or just penalties.
There was
or
a penalty that, well, there was one crash that essentially happened that brought out a safety car onto the track. Now, whenever a safety car comes out onto the track, for the most part, every car goes into the pit lane to get fresh tires. However, this crash in particular, not so much a crash as a car failure, it had to pull off, and it pulled off right into the pit lane where the drivers had to go by. So what happened was when the safety car came out, they closed the pit lane down. That doesn't usually happen ever. Lewis Hamilton, unbeknownst to him, went into the pit lane when it was closed. He and Antonio Giovinazzi both did that. Now, that forced them to have a 10-second stop penalty, stop-go penalty, which means they had to drive into the, during the race when it resumed, they had to drive into the pit lane and stay at their pit station for 10 seconds. Nothing could be done to their car, and they could drive back into there. Essentially, it costed a total of 30-second penalty.
Wow.
For Lewis Hamilton and for Pierre and for Antonio Giovinazzi. Now, that Lewis Hamilton, when it happened, was leading the race. Now, you drop down 30 seconds in a Formula One, you're way behind the pack right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was happening midway through. I want to say it was around lap 27 of a 53-lap race. Now, that gave essentially the lead to Pierre Gasly, who had pitted right before that safety car came out. Mm-hmm. He didn't know it was going to happen, but just luck kind of came his way, had fresh tires in, and was able to take the lead and hold it through for the rest of the way. Now, the odds on this, I was just looking them up. They're spectacular. For anyone out there who is
a degenerate like us,
you would have had a field day.
I'm a baby bird. Feed me.
Plus 20,000.
Oh,
wow. Odds to win, plus 20,000. Odds to finish in the top two, plus 40,000. Plus 4,000.
Okay, I was going to say, weird.
I did that wrong.
Yeah.
So plus 4,000.
Plus
20,000 for this mandarin. Now, granted, no one sees these types of things happening. He was the one
For those people out there that don't know the betting odds, that's for every dollar you bet, that's $2,000 you would win.
So if you put $100 on there, $20,000 just came your way.
$20,000.
And I bet you there's a couple of French Jews out there that did.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, $100. If you're a decent degenerate, $100 is
$1 on it.
Yeah, $1. You get your money back.
Yeah, but
easy.
Let's be real. No degenerate bets $1.
No, that.
I mean, come on.
$10 probably. Minimum bet would probably be maybe $20.
$10.
$10
right there. You're looking at $10,000.
This dude, hearing that call, I think it was just spectacular.
Come on, your math.
No, I won't do it.
$10, $20,000.
No, $10 wouldn't be $20,000. $100 would be $20,000. So $10 would be.
It was plus 20,000.
Would be whatever.
Oh,
you know.
All right.
No math on air. Now we know that. But I wanted to bring that in because I heard that call from the French commentary. I just thought, you know what? That's the type of thing that you love about the sports right there. When you hear that passion. And again, 1994 was the last time a Frenchman had won a Grand Prix. Period. So for the first time in 26 years, the French national anthem was played. Now, at the same time, this is kind of cool because he is racing for AlphaTauri. This is Alfa Romeo, one of Alfa Romeo's team, an Italian team. So the Italian team won on Italian soil. So for them, there was a home race, and they won. Mm-hmm. Granted, everyone talks about Ferrari as the only Italian team. There are other ones out there. But this day belonged to AlphaTauri, and in particular, belonged to Pierre Gasly, the Frenchman. Now, I got to do say, Lewis Hamilton did come back. He finished, I think he finished seventh in the grid. So he found his way all the way through.
Yep.
Starting from the back of the pack, got all the way up to seventh. So still getting to the points. Valtteri Bottas finishing eighth. He got eighth. Valtteri Bottas seventh or sixth. Either way.
He didn't finish first.
He didn't finish first. Now, Ferrari, this is the big news right now. This is their home track. This is their home place. This is the mecca of speed. Ferrari, a team that is synonymous with Formula One racing. Both cars failed to finish. Both cars failed to finish for the first time at Italian Grand Prix since 1984.
Dang.
So, the Italians, and Ferrari in particular, they are up a creek without a paddle. They are so far behind in what their technology is. Their car is so much slower. They are unable to find it all. Sebastian Vettel had complete and utter brake failure. He had to slam into a couple of styrofoam walls. It was kind of spectacular.
It's weird to hear that Ferrari is that kind of low totem pole.
They are really.
You know, when you think Ferrari, you think of, you know, Grand Prix. You think of those kind of races.
So you're saying that this is the mecca of speed. So what would Le Mans be then?
Well, Le Mans is
I know it's a 24-hour race, completely different, but...
Granted, Le Mans did used to have that because of the Moselle Strait. Moselle Strait used to be one of the fastest straights,
strips, yep.
But they added two chicanes in there.
Okay, so they redid
the... Because they got too fast on there. Cars were getting too fast and would get so much air flow underneath that they would lift the cars up. And just for the safety of the drivers, they put a couple of chicanes so they would actually slow down because as much as we do love speed, you can go too fast. It's just hard to because cars are trying to go as fast as possible, but at the same time, you have to be able to keep that car on the track.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line they're providing, and often that line results in death if you crossed it incorrectly. But Formula One, I wanted to give its proper due. Why? Because such a spectacular thing happened, something that, again, plus 20,000 for this man to win.
And to recall the math that we just did, for every dollar it would be $200. $10 would be $2,000.
Yeah. There we go.
That's what my math was correct.
Okay, $100 would be $20,000.
$100 would have gotten you $20,000,
yes.
Which, again, you probably would have put... You see 20,000 plus 20,000? Why not?
Yeah.
Throw it in there. So
awful
there
bet,
you go.
But if it hits, good for you.
Pierre Gasly.
Best bet ever.
You had a fantastic way. I want to give a proper shout-out because, again, none of the top main teams finished in the podium. Carlos Sainz, McLaren finished in second. And then Lance Stroll, once again, for Racing Point, finishing in third. And Lando Norris was in fourth. It was a great race. Just to see that happening, you don't see that often. You like to see when something that doesn't normally happen in those races because it provides for exciting times. And that's what we had yesterday in the Italian Grand Prix. So
they actually had two racers in top 10 for Alfia or was
AlphaTauri.
AlphaTauri.
Yeah. They had Daniel Kvyat. Yes, he is also. So they had a great race in general. Like I said, Lewis Hamilton was seventh, and Valtteri Bottas was fifth. So again, Mercedes, their dominance was once again quenched for a race, but you know how they do. They're going to be back. Lewis Hamilton, he is too quick. And again, if he didn't have that penalty, he would have won away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he did because we had some fun racing action for once. And if you're a Formula One fan, hop on board. You might not see all those new winners all the time, but you're going to see a different podium for the most part. There's a lot of teams fighting for that third spot when it comes to the dominance out there. So that's Formula One, y'all. Spent a lot of time on it. I know we don't ever do it, but you know what? My show today, I got to run with it.
Well, that was a great call and a great... great win by that guy.
It was. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do it, because I heard that call and you felt it. Hearing other languages being spoken at with passion, no matter usually what it is, always sounds fantastic. Yeah. I don't know if you remember the Icelandic call from the
finish.
Yep.
The finish too, when he crosses, you know, the finish line in that race, you know, and just the victorious and just the screen. Oh man, it was.
You can hear it. I mean, English is a bastard passion. Language of
Europe.
Europe, essentially. Yeah. Italian, French, Spanish, all of the above. Italian. Yeah, I said that already. Yeah. But either way, enough words for me right now.
Dip,
I'm going to read words that are. I'm going to say words.
Dive.
That,
dodge.
I mean, I'll say words that have been written out for me, so it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, we'll see.
So talking about practices made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Poland Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Poland's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico and can be reached at 342-1055. Thank you, Poland's, for your support here at KZFR. Thank you, the listeners, for lending us your ears for this past 30 minutes. We got 30 more minutes of this tomfoolery to happen.
Shenanigans.
Now, there were some things that happened in the actual footballing world of college.
Yeah.
This is John's realm. John goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He gets a slight chub whenever there's college football being played in front of him. Mainly
because
there's a chance that he could be winning some money because he's actually pretty good at betting games.
Yeah.
So that
college
being
football.
Said, yes. I'm going to say Luke into the futures. Can we get into that right now?
Yeah, we could just throw one off the cuff.
Yeah, throw one off the cuff right now. I just want to hear what
might
you
well.
Got. Yeah, let's see.
Let's get after it.
All right, this Luke in the Futures is also your college football update, so use it wisely.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money?
That's right. College football is back, which means you guys should really tune into these segments because I actually know what I'm talking about in this realm of sports. Last year, I don't know if you guys followed, you should, because I went almost 77% on the year.
You were on fire last year.
I was. It was amazing. This last week started week one. And this year is going to be a little different. It's not going to be your standard, your first 2 weeks of college football is always easy money games. The spreads are going to be astronomical, but they're always playing, some lower team, tier teams for the Power Five conference. Mm-hmm. This year, it's purely conference play. That's all they're doing. So you're not really getting or if they aren't doing conference play, actually, for Big 12, ACC, they're playing in-state teams. As their kind of follow-up team. So kind of got to be on the lookout. This first week, I kind of sat back and just reveled in the fact that we have college football again. I'm just super excited. So I didn't actually bet this last weekend. However, I did take a game today as my first game, breaking back into the 2020 season of college football. I took BYU against Navy. BYU was +3. Which is great value because BYU is supposed to be a top-tier team this year, especially in their conference. But I could see them breaking the top 25 ranking this year. And they are currently up 21-0. So I feel
there's
like
a
I'm
game
picking
on
it.
A Monday?
There is, yeah.
Good for all right.
Yeah, BYU Navy.
Nice.
Yeah. We got a few we got about 10 minutes left till half, so it's 21-0 still when the second quarter has just started. So that's a good look, picking it up right where we left off. But a couple games to look forward to this week. I mean, we have some big games. We have Miami. We have Clemson. We have Oklahoma. We have some big, big games, big programs playing this week. So keep your eyes out. Teams to watch this year for me. I'm going to be betting on them a lot. Marshall has a really, really, really good program right now. And with COVID-19, with being a select amount of teams they can play. For the West Virginia area, I really like their odds this year. SMU is another team that's kind of been under the radar. They've been recruiting really well the last couple years. Texas team, I mean, we all know them from the 80s when they got blacklisted with Eric Dickerson and all
Pony
that.
Express.
Yeah, exactly. So Roger Craig, I believe, was on that team as well. But SMU is definitely back to kind of maybe not to where they used to be, but they're definitely a team to be talked about in Texas. And then another team that I really really did not like the last couple years that I'm going to kind of go all in on this year. Mm-hmm. UNC, University of North Carolina, their football team, they've got a couple grad transfers. They look really good. They look really good. So be on the lookout for that. And also Notre Dame has gone out of the independent league, because of COVID-19, yep. And they have joined the ACC. So I'm really excited to see Notre Dame actually have a schedule set that is top-tier competition week in and week out. So I'm looking forward to see if Notre Dame can cover some spreads this year.
No, that's only for this year, correct? The ACC?
We'll see. Oh, okay. I mean, we'll see. Notre Dame has always wanted to get into a Power Five conference because that's
what's new playoff format.
Well, exactly, and that's what's been holding them out year in and year out. For these playoffs is
don't say that's what's been holding them out. They've been
they'll get put in.
They're a garbage team,
Put into the playoffs based off their scheduling and go 12-1. But they don't really play, an ACC competition or an SEC or a Big Ten competition.
All they usually play is Michigan, and then that's about it.
Well, it's ironic
to
me that they're smack dab in the middle of the Big Ten, pretty much, and they still don't want to go to the Big Ten. I don't think they want to see Michigan and Ohio State every year, or Penn State.
They saw Michigan every year. That was a big game.
That was the game.
But they wouldn't see an Ohio State or a Penn State or, the other teams that are going to be in the Big Ten.
Michigan's trash right now, so...
Or even the Iowas. Iowa's
those are scary teams. Those are like the teams you don't even think about.
Right, exactly.
And that's why no one cares about Notre Dame, because they're trash.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see how they fare in an actual...
It won't go well, I'll tell you that right now.
Power 5 conference. So yeah, be on the lookout. Podcasts on Fridays I'm going to actually have my parlay picks for the week. I just need a little bit more research. Yeah. I just can't go in this willy-nilly, like I did with the BYU game, even though it's panning out brilliantly. 1-0 so far, knock on wood.
There you go. Right. That's all you need nowadays is 1-0 to be brilliant.
Yeah.
So
but we're back, you guys. College football's back. We're gonna have locks, we're gonna have super locks, we're gonna have guaranteed locks this year.
Whoa, you used the G word.
I know I said the L word 3 times.
Yeah, you did. Well then, there you go. If you want your locks, this is Lock Central over here. John's got you.
I feel like we need some bagels with those locks.
God, it was so much more fun last week when it was just you and me.
Nice try, Brad.
You want to go to the news?
Yeah, let's
go to the news.
Yeah, that's actually
one. When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, we're going to start with the... pretty crazy right now, because this is insane. Now, governments aren't the only thing that's falling in Minnesota. Trees are actually falling, too. And unfortunately, one of those trees fell down and pinned poor old 59-year-old Jonathan Capelcha for 4 days.
What?
This man was out and about trimming his hedges, cutting his trees around his house, living alone like he does. When he cut down a tree and unfortunately it fell a little awkwardly, he landed on him and he was pinned for 4 days.
It's like 127 hours.
I think that's about the time. Luckily, he didn't have to cut off any limbs to survive.
Ha. Is that what you did there?
But.
Didn't cut off any of his own branches?
None of them. But. He is facing a long road of recovery. 4 days of being outside pinned underneath a tree will do anybody some damage. Now, he survived by eating plants and bugs, apparently, on the forest floor. But, like I said, still facing quite a long road to recovery, but he is in stable condition. Still has access to all his extremities. But be careful out there when you're cutting wood, y'all.
And yeah, you live alone.
Yeah, you never know. 4 days, man. I'm out. I don't know.
4 days.
I mean, that's a lot. 4 days of... I don't know.
And he's just like laying there still, right? Hoping that bugs get close to him?
I mean, luckily it's summer, like kind of summertime, so it's not cold. I mean, otherwise he'd probably frozen to death, but...
Freeze.
He would have been frozen.
He would have... He would have froze to death.
He would have froze to death.
He would have froze. He would not have frozen. He would have froze to death.
He would have been frozen at the end of the night.
Well, but you would have said... that's what you should have said.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Either way.
He would have frozen. No, he would have... been frozen, yes.
Words.
All right, Mr. Freeze. Keep it pushing.
Where is my super suit?
That's Frozone. Mr. Freeze is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, Mr. Freeze, Batman?
Arnold
Schwarzenegger?
Freeze. I did not see that.
Well,
no.
He's like seven,
don't watch it. Yeah, don't watch it.
He was born in like 2000.
All right, moving on. Now,
this is a pretty crazy story. As in Australia, they have some pretty crazy laws when it comes to importing handbags. Now, an Australian woman was coming from France with some precious cargo, an alligator skin purse. Now, this alligator skin purse in question actually cost her $18,900.
Wow.
But that's beside the point. Because Australian Border Force, they don't care. Because if you don't have the proper permits to bring in said purse, you don't get to keep said purse, no matter how much you paid for said purse. So unfortunately for the woman, she might have gotten the proper permits to actually leave the country with it. She did not, however, get the proper permits to bring the product into her own country. Unfortunately for her, she needed to obtain a $50 import permit from the Australian Sites Management Authority. So, without spending that $50, she lost out on her $18,900 alligator skin purse.
I feel like if I have enough money while I'm in France to buy a $19,000 purse, I would just, when I get to customs in Australia, I think I would just turn around and catch a flight back to France and then figure it out.
Yeah. That would probably be a good way to do it.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like
if you have enough money to spend on an alligator purse, let's be real, you got enough money to just buy a plane ticket real quick.
At the same time, I'm wondering, could she not buy the permit right then and there? I guess maybe you have to be prepared before you come into the country.
Like it has to be approved.
Either way, that $18,000, $19,000 purse, we're calling it, got destroyed by Australian Customs.
That alligator died for nothing?
I mean, it died for a purse, so that's pretty much nothing to begin with right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's more than just nothing now. You were a purse to then be destroyed to not even be used.
Well, I don't think it just made one purse. I'm sure it made
I'm sure he went to a couple, but either way, I get what you're saying.
I'm sure they
at the same
the meat
time, though,
as well,
that's kind of the reason behind it. The Australian government is trying to fight the illegal trade of wildlife, the illegal movement of wildlife trade.
Wow.
So maybe that alligator was poached.
Huh?
Mm. I mean, either way, it's dead. You think you might as well have the purse happen, you know? Yeah. Like, it's dead. What are you going to do? Like, you know what? Take that skin off that purse and put it in a museum. It's like, no, it's Gator's dead. No point for it anymore. Why not have a purse? $19,000 for a purse, though. God, women, y'all are ridiculous. Like, grads are too. We'll spend $19,000 on pretty stupid things, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they're not purses.
It could be a man purse. You never know.
Or a wedding ring.
That's
pretty stupid.
That one actually gets you far in life.
I'm going to die alone.
Yeah. All right, last one.
You saved $19,000, though.
Last one. This one is just a freak of nature feat of human accomplishment right here, and that I got to give this woman a little bit of recognition. Vera Rivard, a 16-year-old resident of Springfield, New Hampshire, decided to do the stupid, pointless swim across the English Channel. 16 years old, she participated in the 33-mile swim from Samhire, Ho Beach in Dover, England, to Wisnet, France. Took her 14 hours and 10 minutes. 33 miles. Dude, I do half a mile swimming and I'm pooped. Pooped. I kid you not. Like, if I had to swim another, like, lap on a pool, I'd probably drown.
Half a mile, I'm almost drowning.
I'm drowning out like 3/4 of a mile. So either way, we're not making that 33 miles. That's for sure.
It's insane.
Now, her goal is to complete the triple crown of long distance swimming, the English Channel, the 20 bridges of Manhattan Island, and the California Santa Catalina Island.
Wow.
So good for you.
Wow. How old is her name?
16. Vera.
Oh, 16?
16.
Wow.
Vera Rivard, 16 years old.
From New Hampshire.
No, 16.
Wow.
I mean, both are impressive.
Either
way. No, 100%. But, I mean, 16, she's got her youth.
But what about 60? I mean, I feel like that's more impressive.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I mean, you're closer to death than you are at 16. So, yeah, 60 is probably more impressive.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're like not fully grown at 16, so you're still going to develop into a better swimmer.
I mean, dude,
you know, like by the time she's 21, she's going to like swim around the world.
That's the feat right there. All right, that's the news, guys. Now, the news is over. We go on to other news from the hockey world. Also, I think we're going to have a little
we
tennis
have
action.
Tennis and golf.
A little tennis.
FedEx Cup also finished.
She doesn't care about golf. No one cares about that because it's not happening.
DJ.
But either way, Aaron, are you there?
I sure am.
There we go.
A little bit of everything today.
We got a foreign correspondent in the building right now. So, please, what are we going to start with right now? Where do you want to go?
I'd like to gloss over hockey really quickly.
Okay. Yeah, should we start with the Dallas Colorado series? Or?
Yeah, let's just gloss over that. You know, I would just like to say Colorado looked great in that series. Mm-hmm. They went down from 3-1, forced the game 7, took it into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't the outcome I was looking for. So, minor details.
So what's we have the next round started already, or
next round's already started. We have Vegas versus Dallas, so I'm not gonna lie, I'm going for Vegas. Unfortunately, they lost the first game, so yeah, not looking great for me. And right now we've got Tampa Bay playing the Islanders, and I believe Tampa Bay is up right now
4-1.
Yeah, so it's looking good for Tampa Bay, which is great because last year they had that colossal collapse, which was just devastating to watch.
It's always so weird for me to see Tampa Bay as like a great hockey team, you know?
It's like
in Florida.
And they're great. They're a great hockey team. No questions. Just last year was yeesh.
So is this like the final winners of this series move to the Stanley Cup?
Yes, we're in the conference finals right now, so the winner of each goes to play for the Stanley Cup.
And who do you like out of, obviously you're taking the Vegas Knights in that series, and you like Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Who do you like to win it all?
You know what? I hate to do this, but I'm going to go, I think Tampa Bay, you know, the Islanders have looked really good in the bubble, and they were looking pretty good before the shutdown happened, but Tampa Bay, I think, is the better team, and, you know, Vegas is kind of been a roller coaster of a team.
Right.
I think that Tampa Bay has the consistency to take the Stanley Cup. And after what happened to them last year, I really hope to see them win it all.
Yeah. All right.
So hockey.
Oh.
Puck yeah. You got a little yellow tennis action for us too? I know there's some fun things happening in the US.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Wait, so are we going golf? Sorry.
No, tennis. I want to go tennis.
Yeah, you tell us.
Oh, tennis. So very strange. It's a really strange year just overall because Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer are not playing. So it was kind of like Novak Djokovic, you know, best tennis player on the planet in the tournament is going to win it all. And what does he do? Makes a stupid mistake. And, you know, in frustration, hits a tennis ball, and that tennis ball hits a line judge.
Oh.
And it's 10 minutes of discussion, but they DQ'd him. And so, just in a really strange turn of events, the three best tennis players are out of the U.S. Open in 2020.
So
it seems par for the course of the year.
So, yeah, so we're just going to see a drop-off in ratings then, or... Is that probably why they had the 10-minute discussion of talking about ratings and where they were going to go?
I mean, probably.
I mean, that's your only dude right there. That's the only name in tennis that I think, you know.
Well, you have the casual fan. I think he's French. The guy that he's
again, you don't even know his name.
Chris, he's always like he's like our generation's McEnroe.
Point proven. And no, he's not French. Tennis. He's Greece.
Greece, yeah, Greek, yeah.
But no,
whatever, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Breaks rackets all the time and stuff, you know.
I do know who you're talking about, but you're right. I don't know his name. And Andy Murray's out. I mean, just all the big names are out. So, this might be the changing of a guard. We'll see some new faces.
What were your thoughts when you saw that ball that he hit and hit that judge right in the throat?
It was clearly an accident, right? Like, he didn't mean to.
You'd hope not. I don't think anyone would, you know, intentionally try to hit a judge with a ball. I'm granted there are some people who would try to make it look like
an accident.
Yeah,
very clearly it was an accident. Now the rules are, you know, if you hit a line judge you can get DQ'd, and they say that there is discretion, and tennis, kind of like golf, is one of those uppity sports, you know. Remember when They told Serena what her dress code had to be. It's just
right.
uppity and
snobby. And there is some kind of controversy going on right now a little bit with how long it took and kind of the back and forth to actually DQ
Djokic.
Thank you.
Or Djokovic.
Yeah. And, you know, just this past year, I think the last U.S. Open when Serena was complaining or being kind of a poor sport, they DQ'd her just like on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I feel like there's a little bit of a weird dichotomy here with kind of line judges, or maybe not line judges, but just overall kind of reffing and what they're doing with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not unprecedented, but it's kind of like, do you want to watch the sport where it's like, oh, well, you have a button unbuttoned, so you can't play. You know what I mean? It kind of just takes away
right
from the sport as an aspect. But I think they like that. You know, I think tennis likes that. You know, you have to have, you know, such and just really uppity, snobby stuff that you
right.
would never see in like almost any other sport, like hockey, where they allow fist fighting to happen. So it's just a different kind
That'd
of sport.
That'd be amazing in tennis if they allowed fist fighting.
I'm absolutely going to lobby for that.
They gotta do it between the net, though, you know,
or like every set you lose, you have to turn around like kind of like wall ball or something, and the other player gets to just hit a ball as hard as he wants at you.
I feel you. You like turn around, yeah, right in the butt.
Yeah.
Or actually, you got to face forward, and you might get it in the balls.
Yeah, that would make it interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, right. Aaron, back to you.
Serena's still in it, which is exciting because she's kind of finally back. You know, we've got some good women tennis players.
Yeah, remind me of the young woman's name that's the up and
coming.
Osaka. Yeah, I mean, they're all playing in this tournament, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I think that'll be the saving grace for the U.S. Open this year, because, I mean, I feel like more so than any other sport, you know, women's tennis actually gets viewership. You know, like as opposed to like the WNBA or like, you know,
I mean, I think
women's MLS or anything like that. You know,
you got likes of Serena Williams out there,
right.
Big name stars that can do it.
Yeah,
she puts it on the spot.
Some sort of
one
ovas.
Thing about women's tennis is like the games don't last as long. You know, you're not tied to the TV for 5 hours,
mm-hmm,
three sets, and you're done. So one massive plus there.
Touche.
Even Aaron doesn't want to see it that long.
All right, there you have it, y'all.
Golf, though.
Yeah, Aaron, anything on the golfing world?
FedEx
right now?
Cup Championship.
I mean, kind of predictable and in crazy unpredictable way to see Dustin Johnson win. He's won, what, two of the last three, came in second last week.
Mm-hmm. Ever since Brooks Koepka talked that smack.
That's exactly what I told my husband. I was like, this is what Brooks gets for talking trash.
He's proven it.
Pretty impressive. He won a fat $15 million.
That's a nice little chunk of change. I know Brad wants to be on the tour, huh, Brad?
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah,
absolutely love to.
For that $15 million purse.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to be in the...
Well, I was referring to the podcast last week. But.
I mean, even if I was top 10, which if we did this, I would be top 10 guaranteed. I'm making a pretty penny.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Worth all those homeless hand jobs you handed out.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, I think prize money for the entire tournament is like $115 million. So, yeah.
Wow.
And
guess
what? Worth it.
Yeah.
So
you're making money.
So now that's like a really big, obviously a really big tournament, you know, tour championship. What's next on the agenda for the golfing world?
Well, the next big one is going to be the Masters, but that's not till November. And I would say, safe to say that Tiger won't be playing at the Masters since he didn't even make the FedEx Cup Championship.
What a loser. My goodness.
So, Aaron.
I'm just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's won it enough. He's got to let someone else win.
Well, I mean, Aaron, you know what that means, right?
Tiger's not back.
Tiger's not back.
Well,
no.
Maybe not this year, but he'll be back next year.
Yeah.
He can't keep coming back.
He can.
He's going to join Phil at the Champions.
Yeah. No, he will not.
Yeah, I think he's going to go to the old people league.
He's like 37.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Dude, he's closer to 50. He's like 48.
Bro, he's 44. He's definitely not in his 30s. Right. I was going to say, He's not in his
30s. Well, he looks great for 44, all right?
Well, black don't crack, so we all know that. He's looking great, no doubt.
He's back.
He looks great. He's just not playing, you know, top-tier golf anymore.
Just keep the hat on.
You know, that's what old age
does. Keep the hat on.
Except when you won the Masters, you know?
That was a fluke, honestly.
You sound like a Yankees fan right now. Remember that last time that he won? Yeah, congratulations.
It was last year.
But, again, what have you done for us lately? And it's damn near nothing.
The Masters is literally like the Super Bowl.
That was last year.
Of the golfing world?
There's like 8 Super Bowls of the golfing world. That's the problem. The PGA Championship, Super Prestigious.
The
Open is super prestigious.
The Masters is the only one to get a jacket.
The US Open is like the hardest one to ever win.
But if you're talking about like where you are in like legacy, if you don't win a Masters, what's your...
The Masters is the most prestigious golf tournament in golf. And Tiger won it last year. Stop hating.
I'm just spitting truth.
Dude, Peyton Manning played better than he did.
Okay.
All right, Aaron, anything else for us right now? Do you have anything you want to whip John into shape right now, or are you all good?
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's clearly not back, and, you know, that's all I got for you this week.
I bet on BYU, just a heads up.
Hey, I think that's a good call, because I'm pretty sure they're killing Navy right now.
They are, 21-0.
Go BYU.
Yep.
The Mormons right there.
Yeah, that's why I placed the bet. I knew we were going to talk to a Utah native, so.
There you go. Aaron, appreciate you for coming.
I don't know about native.
Well,
let's
transplant.
You're a foreign correspondent right now, okay? You live in the state.
A resident. Proud resident. Absolutely. I wouldn't say native.
That's and I will say, they do have one of the sickest mascots. Their cougar does some moves. Their cougar's got some great moves.
Great
dancer. Yeah. I will say he's real impressive. Very impressive.
For BYU being all uppity tight about being a Mormon school, they let loose on the dance floor. I will tell them that.
So, yeah, their dance team is phenomenal.
Okay, calm down. Thank you, Aaron, so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
I want a full update on the BYU dance team next week, all right?
Break it down. We'll do a breakdown for you guys next week, okay?
Will
Can't
do.
Wait. Thank you.
Perfect.
For it,
Thank
Aaron.
You. Have a good
Talk
one.
Talk to you then.
Bye, guys.
Hasta luego. This has been Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio, and you're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Now, we got a couple minutes left in the show. Now, we could easily go into the world of football where the messy effect is getting all messy. He's back in Barcelona now.
Ugh. All that hoopla. All that hoopla.
I will say, Barcelona comes out of this looking like a real sore loser, a real poor sport, and someone who's very ungrateful for the years of service provided to them.
Well, and what's the clause again? 800 million or
700 million euros.
Yep.
So, a ridiculous...
And even just cut that in half.
Now... Obviously, Messi thought that he was out of that. Thought he was out of his contract. Thought he could go. But apparently, nothing happened within the allotted time frame, the months that he had. I think it was from July, nothing happened. He didn't move, so he thought he wasn't... He told them from all last year, apparently, that he wanted to leave the team. That he was ready to go on to a new endeavor. That he was upset with the way the board has been taking players and building a team that's actually not a team. They're just getting players. They're not building anything around there. And it was interesting to see how... I don't want to say this relationship is completely torn down, but it's definitely, you are seeing large cracks in there. And once you thought as a relationship that was made in heaven is now gone to hell.
Well, and from a financial standpoint as well, his contract's up at next year.
Yeah.
He only has 1 year left on it, and you're going to get nothing for him, and he's going to walk once his contract's up. So you might as well at least even cut that 700 million euros in half to 350 and which is still a great, you know, pretty penny that you can, you know, build pieces, you know, get pieces with and let him, you know, get something for it. Like, what? I don't see their logic in this.
Now, Messi, a man who doesn't speak much, a man who's very much like, very closeted, very reserved, actually come out and spoke about this very incident. He had some very interesting quotes regarding this Barcelona situation. The first one being, I wasn't happy and I wanted to leave. I have not been allowed this in any way and I will stay at the club. As not to get into a legal dispute. The management of the club, led by Bartume, is a disaster.
Wow.
I told the club, the president, that I wanted to go. I've been telling him all year. The truth is, there has been no project or anything for a long time. They juggle and cover holes as things go by. I would never go to court against Barca because it's the club that I love. I know that I never crossed my mind to take Barca to court. So while Messi is in such a battle for his essentially playing career, Barcelona is being a little sour